Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go. There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Swinging Through Spider-Man. I think you all know the drill. It's a Spider-Man podcast where we go through the amazing Spider-Man comics without knowing anything about them. I'm James, that's Brad, and we've just seen the true face of the Green Goblin.
We have, and it is the face of Richard Branson.
Richard Branson himself, Norman Osborn. Big shot businessman. Bit of a mean streak, but for some reason he's gallivanting around as a Green Goblin.
A big old greenie on a rocket broomstick.
So what we now know then is that the Green Goblin, our character of him, our mockery of him, our parody of him, is Norman Osborn.
Yeah.
So they're the same person. He's an ale drinker, loves Pink Floyd, doesn't like younger people wearing Pink Floyd t-shirts or Led Zeppelin t-shirts. Prog rock, loves it, and he's a psychopath.
Bag of cans.
Goes to the off-license, comes back with that plastic blue bag full of cans, ignores his children. But the Green Goblin and Norman Osborn are the same. What's more is that the Green Goblin, Norman Osborn, deduced the identity of Spider-Man as Peter Parker.
And apparently can't spell the word Mike.
No, yeah, that he... That was a whole thing. I'm not getting into that. That's too early to get into that, Brad. However, we do continue with issue 40 of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I've been really looking forward to this after how that it left us on a cliffhanger last issue.
Oh yeah, it's
it got real tense real quick in the last issue.
It was like we said, it's so grim. It's grim.
I think the word is gripping.
Yes, they were all quite gripping, actually, but that was something else. Really pulled it out, I think. John Romita, the new artist on this, I think he's kind of finding his way. Stan Lee, of course, making those story beats as he goes along. It's issue 40 of The Amazing Spider-Man. Shall we just get straight into it?
Dive in, mate.
Peter Parker has been caught by the Green Goblin. Both of them know each other's identity now. Peter Parker has been revealed to the Goblin as a true man behind the mask of Spider-Man.
No, I'm telling you right now, this is the most dangerous situation Peter's ever been in. Like,
yeah,
being trapped underneath a massive concrete block, yeah, that's pretty dangerous, but Peter's got this, like, there's literally Aunt May's life on the line now. Because we got told in last issue, which I don't think we did say it in the recap, was that if Aunt May has another scare again, that's it. Boom, 6 feet under, gone. Resting with Uncle Ben in the sky.
Absolutely, she's in the ground, mate, if all goes wrong. So he's trying to get free, like Spider-Man's trying to get free from his chains so he can solve these issues. But what he's also thinking is, you know, if I get free of these chains, this geezer knows my identity, and I know I'm not going to kill him because that's not who I am. So he's going to go through life knowing my identity, so it's over even if I win.
Peter, there's times where you kind of got to break the rules. Even the rules that you set for yourself. I mean, Goblin, at this point, you need to kill him. Like, you have to.
You've got to do him in.
There is no way else out of it. There's no way around it. It's just, villains don't stop. They do not stop. If you don't sign that contract to go to Hollywood, they will keep fucking pestering you until they've got you chained down to a fucking bench in a basement.
No, they will. And what's more sinister is the Goblin's mental state. Because
The
Goblin, he unmasked. He went, you know what, I'm going to unmask and I'm going to mock you and I'm going to do all this. He intends to kill Peter because he knows if I kill Peter, no one's going to know my identity anyway. So it's safe.
Yeah, Goblin's proper unstable, man. He basically turned around to Pete and said, like, I want you to see the guy who's going to fuck your day up. Like, I want you to look into the whites of my eyes as you die.
Oh, yeah. Really scary. He wanted him to know true fear. Mm-hmm. as he was going through this. But no, Peter is stalling Norman. He's still got, you know, that confidence in him. He wants to mock him and he's questioning him just so he can get free from these ropes and chains that are binding him to a chair in the Goblin's warehouse. Peter states that, hey, of course you're Norman Osborn because you're Harry's dad. Harry's an asshole, so you're going to, you, of course you'd be an asshole.
That's fucking rough.
Norman goes, wait, you know Harry.
I mean, I got to take time out to point out on this artwork that it looks as though Norman Osborn is holding his mask with one hand and throwing up a thumbs up with the other with the serial intent of a man that's trying to push out the biggest turd in the world on his face. He just looks like, you know when you're playing Mario, you know those concrete blocks that drop down and go, his face is that, but he's throwing a thumbs up. Before we started recording, we was trying to deduce whether he's trying to point at the mask or give himself like a thumbs towards himself kind of punt, but like kind of point, you know, like the who's got two who's a crazy guy and who's got two thumbs, this guy kind of thing. But he looks like he's just throwing like a thumbs up towards Harry whilst having a really pissed off face.
Yeah, so Peter's there.
Peter looks like he's struggling to read a menu like a 40-year-old woman.
I'm staring into it.
Just staring at the hand. Like, where is this?
So Norman, he goes raging. How do you know Harry? And now you've made me think of my son. Like, I'm struggling to get on with the job and killing you. And I'm thinking about my son because I love my son.
This is the first time I've thought about my son in 15 years.
Peter, of course, is panicking as well because
I've just scrolled down to see the artwork.
Yeah, he's panicking. Peter's worried about his secret identity getting out as well. They're both terrified of this same thing. But Norman is fully blown panicking. He's saying, I need to forget Harry.
Looks this is just super zooming on his face.
Harry can never fight. If Harry finds out, it's over for me. That's all there is. But Pete, he's panicking as well. He knows if this identity gets out, that's her done. That's me done. Yeah. But he's still trying to stall Norman.
The thing is that everything that Norman's saying is finished with an explanation point. He is really fucking going off. Like, you can see it in his eyes, man. And he's just screamed, that's another reason why you must die, Parker. Only you know who the Green Goblin is. Like, I'm not being funny, but rookie mistake. You did that yourself.
So, you fucked up.
Peter's like, oh, I've got to stall him. So he's like, I know Harry. And now he's just sort of like stirred the bee's nest or the hornet.
Yeah, he's gone mad.
Yeah, because he's just like, right, instead of stalling me, you've gave me another reason to kill you.
Pete catches on. He's like, this guy's fucking unhinged. This means I can actually genuinely distract him. He catches on to that. And he knows that Norman is not just vain, but he's a complete and utter psychopath.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They say that you can't be a successful businessman without being a psychopath.
Peter, of course, he's a fucking CEO, so he's definitely a psychopath. Peter doubles down and he mocks Harry, saying that, you know, your son's going to be famous because not everyone has a murderer for a dad. Norman is just going on. No, Norman, he just keeps falling into it, going, oh, nobody understands why I've done what I've done, so you can shut up because I'm going to kill you. And Peter just keeps doubling down, saying, oh yeah, you're only probably done this because you lost an election or a bet or something.
Just keeps going for it, man. He's finding those pain points and just stabbing at them.
But he's also got to be aware that, hey, this guy could flip at any second.
Oh yeah, and to death. Peter's just, he's super... Like, he's not even just chained up. He's got chains around his thighs, chains around his waist, chains around his whole entire body. And, like, I've never seen Peter look so vulnerable, man. Like, I've seen him vulnerable when his suit's been torn, but I've never seen his civvy outfit torn with the Spider-Man outfit underneath it. It just looks so... Oh, no, man. It's odd. Just, it's odd because you can really see, like, the expression in his face.
He's got his normal shoes on as well.
Yeah, he's proper, like...
He's got his loafers
and socks.
Peter's plan has worked. Norman's talking. Norman's giving a speech about the boys and hows of everything. All this is happening, Peter's just loosening his bonds. The only way Because Peter says he's a mental case. He's a nutter.
Like, I'm sorry, but you hear that Pink Floyd coming from a guy that decided now to dress up as a latex green and purple goblin. And now you're thinking he's unhinged.
I can tell you how he become the Green Goblin. The dude just got hammered watching fucking Countdown or Bullseye, one of them old man programs. Then he turned his drunken fucking head towards any prog rock album cover. Anyone, and went, oh, that'll be fantastic. Think of that. Think of the fun.
It's not about what it is. It's about what it represents.
One day, I bet he's seen like Harry playing Rock Band or Guitar Hero with all his pals, thinking, back in the days, we could have been something. And then he gets on the Rock Band drums and he can't fucking do it because it's a game and not an actual drum, and he's trying to actually drum.
Why do I feel like you're talking from experience here? Why do I feel like this is like a Christmas?
Norman Osborn reminds me of someone that I know.
This is a Christmas at the Rushdons, isn't it?
No, it's just Geezer, I don't know, who used to be like a very good musician, and every time someone got an instrument out, he'd have to fucking go for it. And he loved prog rock and speed.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
But Peter's looting his bonds. Norman says, this is the story. So he says, Harry's mom passed away when he was a baby. It was very sad. And that he had to try hard to support my son. So, of course, what I had to do was chase wealth and power so I could give Harry everything he needs in life. This meant, of course, on the flip side, that he spent less time with Harry and more time at the office. If he has it all, he could thus, you know, give Harry everything he needs. Everything, except being a fucking dad.
Oh, I wasn't expecting this sort of heaviness, man. Jesus.
So he's buying him, like, bicycles and books and everything he needs every week, and he's paying for expensive box seats at the baseball, but he couldn't ever find the time just to sit down and talk to him. He's just blowing him off constantly. He's like, yeah, go on, get on your bike, drive around. I'm out of town on business. When I'm at the baseball, he's like, yeah, just concentrate on the baseball. We'll only be here for a while. I don't want you missing any of it. You fucking keep watching the baseball.
I love it when he's gave like the bicycle to him, and Harry's just walking over to the bike, just like, oh, thanks, Dad. Just like kicking the dirt as he's walking along, like hands in his pockets.
I feel so sorry for Harry.
Man, I felt sorry for him because he Harry inherited that haircut.
What? I don't get it. I don't get what it's trying to be.
I don't get it either. It's like sideways cornrows. It just makes no sense. He's ginger as well. Honestly, I do not understand what this hair is.
It's like fucking Jonathan Davis out of Korn. It's like, it does look like it's dreadlocked, like, but really tightly.
Yeah, but it's like, it's a business as well. It's like it's a business cut, but cornrowed, it makes no sense. Like, literally,
the only way I can understand it, if it was tightly, like, packed with gel. Like swirly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, swirly. What's it's got
like
a name, isn't it?
Fucking James Dean.
Yes, that's the fella.
Tightly, but not like flicked up in a quiff, just tightly packed to his head. Like Clark Kent, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, just cemented packed down.
That's what I'm kind of, that's the vibe like, I'm like, getting.
Like you put your hair on it and you feel a distinctive crunch.
And that's a vibe I think I have to get, but I don't know why people doubled down and carried on drawing the way it's fucking drawn.
It's canon, man. It's been set.
Norman, he's good for everything Harry wants, except, you know, sitting down and talking to him. Norman Osborn, the reason why he's done that is because he's living in a complete and utter fucking fantasy.
Why do I feel like Harry Osborn every Christmas? Like, his dad would just be like, I need you to do a Christmas list so I know what to buy you so I don't have to waste time looking. And like, every year at the very top of his Christmas list is just like, spending time with my dad.
Yeah. I can't buy you that. What is this? So that world, his fantasy, it could never be disrupted. It could never fall apart. Otherwise, he'll turn violent. So when our man, Professor Strom, who was killed a few issues back, when he interfered by committing a bit of fraud, should we say, Osborn had to send that geezer straight to fucking jail. That's why he was there for 10 years. Not for fraud.
for that fraud.
That shows everything you need to know about the policing in this fucking comic. You get 10 days for stealing a fucking nuclear weapon. When you commit fraud, like fraud, you go to jail for 10 years.
Yeah, there's two different prisons, though. There's like the NYC holding cells in like the fucking the precincts, which these like Doc Ock and the Scorpion goes to, and then these guys go to fraud jail.
But fraud jail's the worst jail. It's not like real life. You know, real life, you commit fraud, it's like, oh yeah, like when Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo fuck around with money,
like pay it.
And they're like, oh yeah, you got a 10-year jail sentence, but yeah, do your football. It's all right. It's suspended.
Celebrity's untouchable.
So when Strom took the money from the business account, he said he loaned it, like, but Osborne just got him done for fraud. He just went, fuck you. I'm doing you in here. And Strom begged for forgiveness, but Osborne weren't about it because that would give Osborne complete control of Oscorp, the business. Strom's partnership utterly destroyed by the fact that Osborne's got him done for fraud.
See, this makes sense now. This I see why there's so much like bad blood from a couple of issues ago.
That's why you come after him with the robots.
The thing is,
the third season of Making a Murderer would be fucking Professor Strom begging, like, it's like, I didn't do it.
I swear he had a heart attack. You'd have to be like archive footage.
I didn't know. Dead. Peter is just bemused. So Peter saved Norman Osborn from the robot. So he doesn't understand anything. He's like, what the hell?
Peter's just there like, whoa? He's getting his tiny little mind blown.
Norman was after Strom just to keep a hold of the business and just to keep everything under wraps. But why turn to crime? It's all a joke. Peter is getting loose and he finds himself almost free just as Norman tells Peter the true secret behind all of this. Okay. So a normal bloke doesn't become even a violent or psychopathic bloke doesn't become the Green Goblin. Something has to happen. What happened was when Strom had gone, Norman had access to everything in the business, the experiments. So he tried to make patents himself and, you know, work, you know, master Strom's ideas and make them a reality to prove complete dominance over him. What happened was one night in the lab, one of the experiments fucking blew up in his face.
Jesus. Just boom.
It sent him straight to hospital with brain damage.
You think brain damage. I'm surprised his face wasn't cleaved off.
The doctor saved his life. And he laughs him off saying, I ain't brain damage. You've turned me into a fucking genius, lads. That's what you've done. But he's angry all the time. He's just pissed. You know how he was absent before? That absence is now anger. Ooh. So anytime he goes away, he's flipping off about everything he can and can't do.
Look, I'm not going to lie, man. CEOs already have fucking high blood pressure as is. They're ready to go off at any fucking point as is. As a regular CEO, they're pretty much grenades and all you need to do is pull the pin. Now imagine the Green Goblin is basically a grenade where the pin's been pulled, but he's just got his hand around the fucking dead man trigger. That's all it is. Constantly.
In Japan, the concept of the salaryman who just works every single hour of the day and gets pissed and falls asleep on a bench, then gets up in the morning, dusts himself off and goes back to work.
Yeah.
That's so awful. But that's him. It's just work, 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 anger, anger, anger.
Oh, I miss the days when I used to be able to sit in a pub all day long and watch the reruns of Countdown.
But he's got this idea, this obsession in his head as well. The anger's not just there. There's also an obsession about something. The idea of the Green Goblin.
He just comes to the
idea of the greatest criminal ever known. My favourite colour, green. The costume, everything. The evil, it's all mixed up into this one creation, which is the Green Goblin.
Nah, you're right, man. He drunkenly passed out in a pub one day whilst drinking Hobgoblin. He was just like, that's a great idea.
No, he has a lounge, and it. Like, he's one of them type of people. He has a piano in there. And the whiskey in there, and he never ever goes in there except to get pissed.
I'm so confused because that's such a high standard of lifestyle considering the canon that we've built round the Goblin.
But that's the Green Goblin, not Norman Osborn.
Ah.
You know, Green Goblin, quickly dive into the off-license, get the bag of cans on the rocket broomstick, off you go into the night sky. Norman Osborn, settle down for the pints of ale. settle down for the whiskey swilling in the grass, settle down with the albums, the LPs, you know.
Still carrying that grenade.
Green Goblin's, pocket, Green Goblin's a fucking Walkman, geezer. Norman Osborn is the vinyl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fresh pressed.
So Norman's idea, he's got everything he needs, the money to make the costume, the experience to make the rocket broomstick, all the gadgets are there. He just needs the idea, and the idea is to go straight for number one, the Amazing Spider-Man, knock him down, take control of every criminal empire in New York.
I mean, it's a solid plan.
Which has been clear, that's clear from the get-go. He said that multiple times, the Green Goblin has said that multiple times.
Yes, he has.
To this point.
Although, it's still going to Hollywood still doesn't make any sense in his plan, though.
Get him out of the city and stone him to death. The second plan was kill him in front of all the criminals.
Third plan is kill him on his fucking front yard.
Norman puts his mask back on and now he's screaming in Peter Parker's face that the time is coming.
just screaming into the fucking latex rubber. You're gonna do it, Parker!
He's telling that Peter, he's asking Peter, beg for your life. Beg like a dog for your life. Peter doesn't beg. Peter's thinking, I've been through this shit before.
Peter's just like 10 out of 10 Enma. Just do it. I've had enough shit now.
Yeah, looking at that hairline, he's like, no man with that type of hair is going to make me beg for my life.
I love Peter because he is a love-hate relationship with Peter because he's a little prick, but at the same token, I've got to love the brass balls.
We have to kind of go to the other parts of the comic now because the comic wants to take you away from this warehouse and he wants to show you what's going on in the meantime.
What's the point of them building up all that sweet-ass tension from the last issue to just fucking up the wall in this one? You know what this one feels like? You know in DBZ when they'll be charging up a fucking solar, like what was it? Fucking, wasn't a solar beam, it was a...
Solar beam's Bulbasaur.
Spirit bomb.
Yeah.
You know, and then it'd take a good 5 episodes. It'd be like, I gotta do this for Gohan. And it'd take you back to like 5 episodes again and just literally replay the exact same thing.
I remember packing in Naruto when they were on a bridge for fucking 6 episodes. But yeah, here we go. We're going into what's happening at, you know, at the same time. So news of Peter's disappearance is hitting people in the circle, namely Aunt May.
Aunt May, what the fuck was she doing? Was the goblin guy that was dashing about the front yard, man? I'm sorry, but you wouldn't be able to sleep through that. You'd just be fucking Pink Floyd, fucking that glider's fucking rolling coal, so you know it's not sounding like a healthy fucking glider. You know,
it's not exactly a hybrid, is it?
No, of course not. Then you've clearly gonna have Peter's just wails of agony because he's getting his shit kicked in.
Yeah, like truly primal
screams. Goblin's just out. So clearly, what is this bitch doing? She must have had like some fucking Xanax and she's fucking chilling out.
She's hit the Xannies, man.
She's chilling out on the sofa, man. That's what it is.
So Aunt May, in a panic, has asked that her neighbour, Anna Watson, come over to comfort her. Anna Watson, she's all there to comfort Aunt May. She is over there to comfort Aunt May. But the pair phone J. Jonah Jameson to check up on Pete. He cusses them out, saying, I'm not the lost and found department. Slams down the phone.
Rough.
Aunt May starts crying, thinking that Peter's fucked.
She can fucking feel a ticker going. She's just on his verge. He's like, I just like, done. Boom, boom.
Now our attention switches to Chicago.
Chicago. What's going on in Chicago?
Betty Brant has hit the
holy fuck, she's alive! I like how no one's gone through the trouble of trying to find this bitch. Like Peter's gone for a maximum of an hour and everyone's trying to find Pete. And Betty Brant's gone for a month and everyone's just like, I guess she's gone.
To be fair, I was gonna say fumbling with the skin of someone's face, she just like sliced off and flayed.
Just stroking it.
Yeah. No, she's fumbling with a difficult decision. She has to return to New York. She knows she has to go back. But she's haunted by visions of Spider-Man, who represents all that she fears. She realizes that I can't put my life on hold just because I'm scared of Spider-Man and what he does to the people I love. She has to go back no matter what, and she's hoping to God that Spider-Man isn't someone she cares about, like her ex-boyfriend Peter Parker.
Oh, could you imagine? Like, Don't forget, Peter was on the cusp of telling her as well. And that's when then Betty just turned around and went, I hate that Spider-Man. And then Peter's just there like, yeah, same.
Our attention now goes back to the warehouse where shit has went off the handle. Shit has truly went off the handle. The Green Goblin at this point is now refusing to accept that he has ever lost to Spider-Man. So he starts airing what looks like a PowerPoint presentation through a mind display helmet to recap every single one of their battles to prove that Spider-Man hasn't beaten him.
That's incredible. Do you reckon that he's got a really shit slow transitions as well?
It has. It's like click, it says click.
Yeah. And I love the way how the goblin's like, no, I didn't lose at all. I just retreated towards future victory.
That's actually what he says. Like,
no.
There was too much there for me to fucking put in the thing for you because I know it's getting long. But he said, I only ran away to beat you later.
Fucking hell. See, I just know the goblin now. I'm fucking entered his mind space.
He's like, so he goes through the Hollywood thing. He's like, I'm sure you remember those three. Click, and like the ox comes up, and then he clicks again. Montana comes up, he clicks again. Fancy Dan comes up, then he clicks, and they all swirl around.
Like they're coming in, like, and they're doing like a 360 spin as they're fucking flying into the fucking slide.
You know when he clicks and he thinks the slide's going to turn to the next one, but no, there's something else that needs to come onto screen first.
Remember like the really shit like presentations that you used to give in school, and there was always that one kid that wrote like paragraphs on a slide, and he'd sit there and really read them out. Like <That's him.
laughs> he's like clicking like, all on the screen, and he's clicking each paragraph's coming out. When we went to Hollywood, I hit you with a rock, and the only thing that stopped me from beating you was click, and the Hulk comes out. This guy.
Oh, I'm so glad to see Fancy Dan again, though. Just even if it is just for like one.
He's
or
doing
two
jazz
slides.
Hands.
He is. He's literally doing jazz hands. He's like coming out of there. But I love how he's got man. He's like drawn man. What is it? Montana, and he's just holding up his whip as if to be like, oh, "I'll get you with this."
Montana looks like Harrison Ford.
Holy shit!
His hat is, it's got such a small peak. It's really like tiny.
Oh, I fucking love the Enforcers, man. I'm so gutted that we've been informed that they don't reappear for like years.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad news.
What was the Enforcer that we came up with? Was it like the Scuba Dad?
Shotgun Mike.
No, Shotgun Mike was like last of it. No, he's not an Enforcer. He's just Fancy Dan's cousin. But we
went with one with a dog and one with a scuba diving one.
Just random fucking abilities.
Oh my god, my head! I've been laughing too much at it.
I fucking love the Enforcers, so good.
So the Green Goblin is quite literally taking Spider-Man for every single fight they've ever had. They talk about the Hollywood fight, the fan club fight. Click. The Lucky Lobo setup. Click.
He's added
the Cry Master one. Click.
He's added like the transition noises as well. You know, they go.
Yes. It's like the Cry Master's there. This guy tried to interrupt my plans before. Click in, and the photo of his dead body at the crime scene. He was dispatched.
The Goblin is unhinged, man. He's just like. He's like taking a photo of the dead body like a girl takes a photo of the meal on Instagram.
So, this is where the Goblin says, I fled just to allow you to escape, just so I could set you up for this.
I'm sorry, mate, but you really need to beat someone until they run away if that's your plan.
And one more thing, the Goblin knows Peter has been trying to get free this entire time.
Fuck, Goblin is...
That was all part of the plan.
Goblin was like, he was reverse... I don't know, man. I don't even know the term to use, but he was sly dog. Sly dog, man.
So he lets Peter free, saying, I'm not going to beat you when you're shackled up because that's not going to make me feel good. So I'm letting you free. And by the way, your final thought before the end comes will be that I've given you every single chance you need to beat me. And yet, I've beaten you.
Fuck.
And Peter's ready. He's like, no!
He It makes sense why Goblin put his mask on then, because he was like, it's showtime. And the thing is, Goblin's clever because he's literally shown Peter every single moment where it's just like, do you remember how bad you felt at this point? Do you remember how bad you felt at this point? And then Peter's just getting rolled up. So like, I don't know how much cocaine Norman Osborn must have done, but he just
a tremendous amount,
like handfuls of the shit. But he's
done the speed and the catnip as well.
He wants Peter at unbridled rage mode. He wants him peak game. And he's literally crafted a plan in order to get him there because he just wants a challenge. He just wants to prove that he's the sickest man.
Pete knows I've got a step. He says, I've got a step up. I can't drop the ball now. There's too much. So he's like fucking jumping on. And then the Green Goblin goes, wait, put your suit on, put your web shooters on and put the mask on because I'm going to fucking kill you in your suit.
You know what? I've got fucking mad respect for Goblin. Like, I gotta admit, like, the thing is with villains is they're usually really sneaky and underhanded and little bitches. But Goblin outright putting his balls on the table, literally flopping his dick out on the table and going, my dick is bigger than yours. Prove me wrong. And he's giving Peter everything he needs to do. He's not being a coward. He's not being a little shit. And he's not fucking pulling out any fucking tricks or whatever. He's literally like, oh, mano, meet me outside in the parking lot. Let me down my fucking hobgoblin. We'll sort it out.
He's got the dimpled glass of ale. He's just sipping it while Peter's getting dressed, just downing it. So the fight is typical. It goes back and forth. Goblin throwing stun bombs. Peter using net to bounce them back. They're at the top of their game. Goblin, of course, on the rocket broomstick. It all takes a turn for the worse for the Goblin.
No way.
When Pete, after using all, he gets momentum, punches the Green Goblin straight off the rocket broomstick into the wall. The broomstick explodes.
Oh, shit.
He's done. Look at that punch.
It's a proper punch. Your wok. No, got punched so hard it came out as an appliance.
So Goblin's coming at him saying, I'm going to finish you off. Pete just pulls back.
Literally mid-sentence.
Pops him. And he's off the wall and down. He hits the wall so... He hits the floor, so fucking hard. Have you seen that?
I like how Peter just did the feints. He's like, oh, if I acted so helpless enough, he'd like overextend himself because he knows Goblin's weakness is his ego.
Brad, look at the next one on the Goblin. He falls on his neck.
Oh!
And he's getting up fucking... He's like, fuck.
The thing is,
you know, you've been on the bouncy castle a bit too much and you kind of fall down and it like, takes you forever to get up.
It's mad though, because you gotta know how hard he fucking hit the floor. Because, like, literally, it's like slam! Fucking rocket gliders fucked into the wall. Goblin has landed on the back of his neck, like upside down. His arse is above his head in that order. And then he's rolled round and now he's on his front. So that's how fucking hard he hit the floor. He hit the floor with enough momentum to fucking send him back on his front.
Now, Spider-Man standing over him, wondering what he's going to do. Because Goblin knows his secret and Spider-Man's no murderer. But Spider-Man, whilst the Green Goblin's getting up, as you can see, Spider-Man's foot is standing in a wire.
Oh, fucking hell. Goblin's so clever.
The other end of the fucking wire is in the hands of the Green Goblin, who pulls it, dragging Spider-Man down.
I'll tell you what, man. Goblin is fucking clever. He is proper clever. Even when he goes down, look, he's got like, yeah, I'm a step ahead of you.
It's a live wire as well, so it's throwing Spider-Man.
Oh, shit. Oh, mate.
So even though the Goblin's hit his back of his head, and as far as we know, he's got no superpowers, the Goblin has, so he's actually hit his head.
Like as a person?
Off the floor, he's just mad. He's an angry, mad Goblin man.
You know, I'm kind of glad that this happens in a way, because like thus far, Goblin's only been his gadgets and his smartness. So it's kind of cool to see him on foot, you know, without his glider, without his momentum. Like, how is he gonna like get his way around fighting a superhuman?
What I will say, Brad, is that the comic says this is a live wire. Yeah,
yeah,
and it shocks him. The live wire, as you can see, is not connected to anything.
it's not a single.
It's actually not, but it is throwing Spider-Man.
And Goblin's just like, well, now, isn't this a shocking development?
Spider's
just foaming out of his fucking mask.
Spider-Man out for the count for a little bit. The Goblin runs to set up like an autocannon. He's got his like finger blasters. Oh my God, that didn't come out right.
I was about to say.
But he has got blasters on the end of his fingers that shoot laser beams. He's got an autocannon version of this, which he's setting up to fucking kill Spider-Man right now.
Peter, don't move. Don't move, Peter. I'll be back in 2 seconds. Just stay there. Peter's just there, look.
He's like a fish out of water, literally. Out of water. Spider-Man, he's still Spider-Man. So this would have killed a normal person. It's just put him down for a bit. The autocannon starts firing. Spider-Man senses working, dodges the danger, dodges into the Goblin, uses a fucking drop kick to the jaw.
Oh man, that's a proper kick as well. Like, you know, he's launched himself with 1,000 pressures of pounds. Just boff, right in the geezer's jaw.
However, so Spider-Man didn't want to be a murderer, right?
He's recontemplating it.
He has just used all his superhuman momentum to dropkick a normal man in the jaw into an autocannon that's firing, into live wires, and into noxious chemicals.
I'm going to tell you right now, Peter fucked up.
So that is a dropkick and a half, though.
And the thing is, Peter is aware. Peter's aware of his, he can't grab him in time. He's getting the full effect of the electrochemical charge.
He's flying straight into that as well. Hard.
The artwork's fucking beautiful, by the way. Absolutely amazing. Like that fucking splash in the background. You like all jaggedy and blue. So you know that the electric's fucking like buzzing.
The warehouse explodes into flames and fumes, and the Green Goblin lays motionless.
Not only have you just...
Look at that one panel of the fumes coming out and his fucking curled up boots just...
just a fucking toxic cloud and just the fucking winkle pickers out.
Spider-Man says, he's not moving, it's just a trick. So he goes to take his pulse. He's like, oh, thank God he's still breathing. He didn't kill him. He takes the mask off. And I've defeated him, but how can I prevent my secret from getting out alive?
I love how he's holding the Goblin mask, and the Goblin mask looks as though it's like really shocked about the turn of events. Goblin mask is like, what? Like, you know the emoji that's like holding both of its cheeks.
Norman Osborn's now down on the floor, almost out for the count. He starts saying Harry's name, and then he looks at, like, squints at Spider-Man. He's like, you're not Harry. Who the fuck are you?
Fucking hell. Lazy writing.
No, he's been hit so, rocked so hard.
He's got literally been like short-term memory loss.
This can happen though. If you look how hard he's hit his head multiple times in this.
If there's anything I know about serial killers and psychopaths, is like, if they get hit on the head.
Big hit on the head.
Yeah. Like, Spidey set himself up to not get knocked down again later on, man. He should have just got the Goblin mask.
Just keep hitting him in the head now. Boop, boop, boop,
boop. Like the in-betweeners when he's punching the fish.
But Spidey, his senses aren't going off, so he knows that Norman Osborn has took enough head injuries to genuinely not be able to...
Not be a threat.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but he's been laid the fuck out. I don't think he could be a threat even if he wanted to.
I know you said this is lazy writing, but this is very realistic that you can't take this much hits from a superhuman and still be standing.
Nah, you're right. To be fair,
he's been fucking bopped.
It just feels like a bit of a get out of jail free card. Like, imagine how creative the writing could have got if Osborn carried on knowing.
But you don't know, and what we all don't know is if he's genuinely faking this.
Yeah, but we know Spider-Man's spider sense is whatever the fucking plot decides it needs to be now.
But what if he is faking it so good that Spidey's not even, his senses aren't picking up on it?
Shit, yeah, good point.
Like, both of these things are just as true. Like, Norman Osborn could have taken so many blows to the head that he doesn't know what day of the week it is. And Spider-Man could not just pick up on the fact that he's faking it.
And the other thing is that sometimes short-term memory loss can come back as well, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So if he sees something that sets him off, like, say, a spare Green Goblin costume or something like that.
I can't move my neck down. What am I wearing?
Stink of piss in this room. What's in there? And it's his pissy old costume.
Oh, man.
Where's this from?
to Norman. Love Norman.
To future Norman. Love from past Norman. Sorry about the smell.
Packet of pork scratchings on the side.
So Spider-Man checks for a pulse. Of course he's alive. It's all worked out. He's not in danger. Norman Osborn has had the senses knocked out and his memory seems to be gone. So Spider-Man says, there might be hope for him. And there's hope for me now. Mm. So Spider-Man takes off his Green Goblin costume. He's got the business suit on underneath.
No! So all this time, man's been fucking dressed in a three-piece underneath the latex.
Layers.
Man must be sweating. He must be fucking, like, moist under there, man. Just glistening.
Do you know in Jackass when they make the geezer cycle in that sweatsuit?
Yeah.
That's what that is. He's just got that sweaty suit on underneath. Spider-Man chucks a goblin suit into the fire and carries Norman Osborn out to the fire service, who have arrived with the police. They demand an explanation. Why are you holding Norman Osborn? They tell the police. The fire service tell the police to fucking
Jesus
shoot Spider-Man.
Christ.
He's gone.
he just drops Norman Osborn. Just drops him and fucks off.
Peter rushes home to Aunt May, and at his front door, he's confronted by a very angry Dr. Bromwell, who has made a fucking home visit.
For once. Oh, Peter, your aunt's going to die, but I was waiting for you to come see me on the off chance
that you might sign this bill. For home visit, 100 grand
Jesus
misses,
Christ.
Mate. Probably. He demands that Peter show more care of your aunt. She's very ill. Your disappearance hasn't helped. I've sedated her a bit. She's coming round. She's better, but you best go and explain yourself. Peter.
Fucking zannies.
Yes. Peter states that he fell asleep studying, which is a fair excuse, really.
Yeah, to be he's in college, you know, he's got his scholarship.
He's only been missing overnight, like, so he could have definitely fallen asleep studying. Hmm? Except the fact he stinks of a warehouse fire.
And hobgoblin.
Aunt May buys it. In fact, she notices Pete has got the flu, but he's just hot because he's literally just come from a burning warehouse.
Like, wouldn't you just smell the smoke on him?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's probably... She's like, oh, he's unwell. He stinks of fire.
Like, it's kind of annoying with Spider-Man because he hasn't got the money to afford his own place, but he could really do with some sort of spider warehouse somewhere where he could just have some sort of intermediate section where he can have civvy clothes, his Spider-Man outfits, place to work on his gadgets, a shower. You know, a place to fix himself up. Just like a fucking garage or something somewhere. That'd do him.
That'd sort him right out. But no, Aunt May has put him into bed and she's caring for him now. She's giving him soup and that's the best way for her to feel better about herself.
Meanwhile, she's off her tits.
Yeah, it's not soup. It's just boiled water with salt in it.
He's fucking sedated as fuck. She's trying to feed him the soup and she just starts pushing it into his nose and his cheek.
It's not Pete. It's just a cushion. Our attention goes now, finally, to Norman Osborn in a hospital bed who he's coming to. His son, Harry, has been by his side always. But Norman is kind of fighting buried memories that are now lost to him forever. He can't really recollect something, but he knows something's gone. Anyway, he brushes him off with a promise that for him and his son, the future is going to be a good future.
Thanks.
We'll fucking see about that one. And that's the end, Brad.
Oh, that was a good little saga that was.
That wrapped it up quite nicely.
Yeah, you know what? I've come to terms with the fact that he's lost his memory. I actually think that's a good writing piece because
that's probably the best thing they could have done with what they had.
It gives them time. It gives them time. It gives them something to work with in the future.
Yeah, you can push him back now for like issues. You don't need to come back to this.
Mm. Harry's just gonna be like, finally, I've got a dad. I need it. Because he's like, he's in bed and he can't fucking move. He can't go anywhere. Harry's just fucking annoying the shit out of him next to him.
So Harry's going to take his, like, oh, Dad, you want to come and meet my friends? Empire State University. This is Peter Parker. That's Flash Thompson. Don't mind him. That's Gwen Stacy. And Norman's just staring at a green curtain. Just like, what? Green?
Could you imagine what it'd be like for Peter to meet Norman Osborn after this? Like, just everyone would be like, oh shit, it's Norman Osborn, the owner of Oscorp. Oh shit. And then he's just going to be Peter just going like, you guys don't know.
And Harry has to like help him now with all his memories and that, don't he? What do you do for a living, Norman? Oh, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Oh. No, that was a good issue, and although we had to wait for it, I'm actually happy how it turned out.
No, it couldn't have went any better for anyone. But that is the saga of the Green Goblin unmasking Spider-Man over. And next week, we meet Peter's new motorcycle.
Oh, hell yeah. That's what I'm about.
And the Rhino.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. If that motorcycle gets fucking touched, I am going to find Stanley and I'm going to beat his fucking head. But like no word of a lie, like when I was doing the Tombstone missions in
the PS4 game.
In the PS4 game, I did not touch those motorbikes. Not a single one.
They got on mine. I'm not going to lie. They got chucked. They got fucking
they got chucked.
Beat off everyone's head.
These motorcycles are rated E for everybody.
That it's over. It's over now. That issue's done. How are you feeling about this going forward?
Got a newfound respect for Goblin. Like, mucho respect. Because I used to think Goblin was a bit of a pusser. I used to be like, why is he constantly running? Like, fight until your last breath sort of thing.
Yeah.
But now I know it's like it's been this huge, huge plan. And like him just turning around to Peter and saying, I know what you've been trying to do. I am a fucking idiot. Now get your web slingers on. Get your mask on. Let's fucking do it. Like,
no, to be honest, fully get that.
Fucking mad respects for him. Like, I already love his design. His design is one of the best. And then to have that sort of balls to go along with it, it makes him such a fucking good character. And I can now understand why people say that, like, Green Goblin is to Spider-Man what the Joker is to Batman. I get it.
Yeah. Pretty much like the same kind of concept, isn't it? The chaos.
Yeah.
All that, but Norman Osborn seems to have a bit more depth, like that real life depth behind him.
Well, actually, yeah. You're right with like the chaos sort of thing, because it is the total opposite. You're talking like Harry Osborn is a guy that's, you know, very well off.
Oh, Norman Osborn, sorry.
Norman Osborn, yeah, sorry. Very well off. You know, doesn't have many cares in the world because he's constantly working and that sort of thing. He doesn't have rules. He's mad. He's fucking is an egotistical maniac. Whereas Peter's the total opposite of all of that, other than the egotistical maniac sort of thing. Definitely one of them. But Peter's from a poor background, very humble background. You know, he's lost a lot. Well, I guess they both have, really, aren't they?
Yeah, it's almost the opposite of Batman and the Joker, because Batman's the rich guy and Joker's from the humble, or you assume a humble-ish background.
Mm.
So crazy how that works out. Batman's not the fucking Green Goblin.
Shit! Canon.
But dude, I think we're done there. Next time, as I said, we meet the Rhino and Pete's motorcycle and how that works out. But yeah, for now, that's it.
Each time he gets like sick webbing on it.
No. No, he just drives around without a helmet. It's
fucking menace.
But yeah, that's it. If you like this, you can leave a review on iTunes or Overcast or whatever. We won't mind. No, that'd be nice. And you can find us at Spidey Podcast. We do like hearing your thoughts, and you know, don't be afraid to message us, because we like speaking to you.
We do. We're actually very active for our community. We try to message everybody back who at us and try to engage in conversations.
Exactly. So thank you very much if you've spoken to us in the past, and we welcome everyone. So thank you for that. And we'll see you next week. So catch you later, guys. Goodbye.